Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Welcome to Christ in All Things. I'm Pastor Jason Schachman.
And I'm Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
In the season 2 finale, Jim and Carol Juno told Jacob's story, the account of their son's tragic death.
Before the closing credits of that episode, we said that in season 3 of Christ in All Things, there's going to be a lot of conversation and teaching related to Jacob's story,
including why a consistent, scripture-based order of service or liturgy is better for the faith formation of all ages.
This episode, Jacob and Dolores, a love story, is the continuation of that conversation.
First, we'll hear Jim and Carol Juno tell Jacob's story. It's just under 8 minutes long. Jacob's story is tragic. But if you listen in, you'll hear Jacob's father begin to speak about what he learned from the experience.
I was there. Serving Jacob Juno and his family changed my life forever and cemented convictions about what is necessary for me personally, for me as a pastor, and for what is best for the spiritual health of all of God's people.
These are convictions that I share wholeheartedly for other but similar theological and personal reasons.
Jacob Juno was just 21 when he died. But in this episode of Christ in All Things, you're also going to meet a much older woman named Dolores. We received permission to publish the clip you'll hear.
So Jacob and Dolores isn't a romantic love story. It's an ecclesiastical love story, a story about how Christ loves his people and continues to teach them through the ministry of his church.
Here is Jacob's story, written and recorded by Jim and Carol Juno.
On April 10th, 2017, our son Jacob was home for his birthday. He turned 20 years old. We went out to dinner as a family to celebrate, and after dinner, Jacob went back to Milwaukee to celebrate with friends. Carol and their two other boys went on spring break, but Jacob didn't go because he didn't ask off in time.
Meanwhile, Jacob had gotten a tattoo, and we didn't know this until later. On Sunday the 23rd, we talked, and he said he wasn't feeling well. His friend took him to the doctor in Milwaukee, found out that the tattoo was infected, so they prescribed antibiotics. He stayed in Milwaukee, and the next day he was taken to the ER because he said his chest hurt. They did not see anything on an x-ray.
On Tuesday the 25th, Carol told him he needed to come home, but he told her he couldn't drive. So she asked me if I would go and get him in Milwaukee and bring him home. Later that night, Carol told me that some of Jacob's friends were bringing him home along with his car. Carol set him up in his room. He told her that he felt like he had two hot pokers pressing on his chest. She was concerned, but since he had been to the doctor a couple of times already, she decided to see how he was feeling in the morning.
On Wednesday the 26th, the doctor in Milwaukee called and told us to have him go see our doctor because he had done a blood culture and the results came back that he had a blood infection. Our doctor said that we should take him to the ER right away, so we did that.
I had come home from work and went out for a run to work off the day's stress. While I was running, Carol, with Jacob in the car, passed me on the road, driving somewhere. When I got home, which was about an hour and a half later, I was told to come to the hospital. In the ER, in Oconomowoc, They did another x-ray of his chest, and it showed fluid buildup in his lungs. He also had influenza along with the blood infection. They admitted him to the ICU unit here in Oconomowoc. When I rushed to the hospital, not knowing anything was a big problem or that our lives would change from here forward. That night, Carol came home, but stayed the next couple of nights at the hospital. On the 28th, they decided he wasn't getting enough oxygen, and they wanted to intubate him. Pastor O'Donnell came to see him before this. One of the nurses was a good friend of ours. She asked for help, keeping Jacob calm while they intubated him. I went to him, told him that he needed to trust us, that this would help him, and I told him he had to trust us. Those later found to be the last words I said to him while he was conscious.
On April 30th, things had changed pretty drastically. They did another scan, and his lungs were now completely filled with fluid. They made the decision to move him to St. Luke's in Milwaukee. They were going to airlift him, but because of the weather, they could only go by ambulance. So they packed him up and sent him by ambulance that day. And I got to ride with him, and he actually stayed pretty calm in the ambulance. So they transported him to St. Luke's and put him in a special ICU unit they had for dealing with like chest and lung issues. And the whole staff was waiting for him when they arrived. It was a very big ordeal.
Nurses waited and had a standoff to the side while they got Jacob from the elevator to his room. Once in, we were told that we could see him, but things have now changed. We couldn't take anything into the room with us. We had to wear gowns and masks. Nothing could be taken into the room. We had specialists from the infectious disease and other areas of the hospital come and see him and us. He wasn't getting better. Even though they tried to suck the fluids out of his lungs, he still wasn't getting enough oxygen. He was in the ICU unit for the first week. The end of the week, May 5th, a good friend held a prayer vigil for him at a park with family and friends attending. I came to church on Sunday, and that's when Pastor O'Donnell gave the sermon on remembering the Nicene Creed and other articles from the confirmation class that was going at the time. I still remember it like it was yesterday.
At the start of the second week, we were told they wanted to put him on ECMO, which is where they take the blood out of your body, send it through a machine to add oxygen to it, and then put it back in your body. You have to have surgery to have this done, and after that, he was moved to a different ICU unit that was more geared for heart issues. We asked if it was possible to do a lung transplant, but the only place was in Canada, and he was too sick to go through that anyway. We had a special room at the hospital at St. Luke's that we could use to sleep and take a shower and clean up, or even just go to be alone. One of us was always with him day and night. We slept or stayed in that room or even in his hospital room, and we certainly wouldn't have had it any other way.
We always talked to him and recited some Bible verses when in the room. We'd remember a verse, or Carol would Google verses that seemed right for the time. On Wednesday, May 17th, Carol came home to get some pictures for the room, and she said she felt that she was looking for pictures because he was already gone.
On Thursday evening, the 18th, the doctor told us that they didn't think he would make it through the night. My family brought the boys, Ben and Matthew, to the hospital to say goodbye. Pastor had a great idea to tell him all the good and bad things he did to and for them, but mostly that they loved him. Everyone stayed with Jacob in the room all night. He made it through the night, but was still not good. Everyone went home, even the boys, because we really didn't know what was going to happen.
On Saturday, May 20th, the doctors told us the only thing keeping him going were the machines. Carol's sister and mom had brought, and dad brought Ben and Matthew back to the hospital, and we gathered as a family in the room so that we could all be there when the machines were turned off. That was the hardest and worst thing we ever had to do. We said some words and how we loved him, and then we said the Lord's Prayer. When we got to the Amen, I could hear a faint flatline of the EKG machine. Having to remember the parts of the worship service, the liturgy, or even verses from the Bible is something that I will do until I leave this earth and visit Jacob again. I owe him and others that I meet to be able to recite something of comfort or follow just along in case of a time when you don't have a Bible or something that you can bring with you. We hope this helps you.
We love talking about Jacob, and if someone asks, we will always tell the story. There is not a day we don't think about him or what would be if he were still with us today.
God bless you. I'm Jim Juno.
And I'm Carol Juno.
For in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:19-20.
Listen again to what Jacob's father Jim said at the end.
Having to remember the parts of the worship service, liturgy, or even verses from the Bible is something that I will do until I leave this world and visit Jacob again. I owe him and others that I meet to be able to recite something of comfort or follow along just in case of a time when you don't have the Bible or something you can bring with you.
We believe that one of the best ways to do that, to have something to recite that is of comfort, to have a ready reservoir of hope at any situation, is when you combine God's word with beautiful music. In particular, we believe that the message of God's free forgiveness in Christ, the message that Jesus is God and that he died and rose for the sins of the world, when you combine the hope of the resurrection with beautiful music, that is a recipe for enduring comfort.
Now, listen to this.
Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And that's three of this morning.
You did great.
The woman singing with me in that clip is named Dolores. She was one day shy of her 99th birthday when I visited her in the nursing home.
When we go and visit Dolores, she often can't remember who we are, where we're from, let alone what day it is. But when we sing from the liturgy she sang from the time she was a little girl, her soul comes alive. She remembers every word.
Think about that.
Through the word and music that is embedded in her soul because she sang it consistently from her youth, Dolores is confessing her sins
and receiving God's forgiveness.
We Lutherans call that law and gospel.
The historic sung liturgy of the church has a beautiful back and forth rhythm of law and gospel, of confessing sin and receiving forgiveness. We hear how we need God. We hear how Christ has saved us.
And as in the Nunc Dimittis, the song from the Gospel of Luke where old man Simeon got to hold the Christ child before he died, the song we just heard 99-year-old with dementia sing from memory, we remember, we recite God's promise of eternal life in Christ.
In just the sung liturgical portions of the historic liturgy, we have the whole promise of Christ in summary. Think about that.
We want every member of St. Paul's, in fact, we want everyone to know Christ and the power of his resurrection.
We want everyone to have what Dolores has, enduring faith in Christ.
And having everything different in worship every week makes that difficult.
That's why a consistent, scripture-based order of service or liturgy, particularly sung liturgy, is better for the faith formation of all ages.
That's why, at St. Paul's, while we have different readings, a different sermon, and mostly different hymns every week,
we also observe the very healthy tradition of the church, a classical method of teaching and worship.
A consistent law and gospel sung liturgy.
And indeed, when that consistent law and gospel liturgy is combined with enduring, beautiful music, you have something you can bring with you anywhere.
Whether that's to a hospital room of a loved one.
Or the solitude of a nursing home.
Whether it's a surprise hospital visit while you're on vacation.
Or the insightful question of a three-year-old at bedtime.
Weekly church attendance at a congregation with a consistent, scripture-based, sung liturgy or order of service
is a great recipe for enduring faith in Christ.
So, Jacob and Dolores isn't a romantic love story. It's an ecclesiastical love story. A story about how Christ loves his people and how Christ loves you and continues to teach all who will hear through the ministry of his church.
Thanks for joining us at Christ in All Things. For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift,
but it's not free to produce and distribute.
So, if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straw
for the useful but perhaps pretentious beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping and a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping and an elegant Christ in All Things leather folio, handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want, and we'll record Christ in All Things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.